pick up your hymnal and turn to page number 284. Page 284.
Oh, victory in Jesus. morning. It's good to be here this morning. Glad to have you with us this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're just tickled to death you're here. And just join in with us as we worship God and sing praises to His name. I can't think of a better place to be this morning. Good time in class this morning. Jeff, where's Jeff? Jeff, good job. Thanks. We appreciate it. If you're missing Sunday school, you're missing a blessing. I know everybody else had good class time too, but I enjoy my Bible study time. You know, this is my favorite time of the year, really. It's cool outside, and you can raise the windows up and sleep at night, and it feels good, and you can hear all the critters and the whippoorwills, and get up of a morning and hear the birds singing and all that stuff. Isn't God great? It's a good time to be alive. So, one little thing, Lori, I work with Lori. It's good to see you, Lori, and the girls. Miss Laura comes to visit here, so I call Lori Laura about half the time because I think it aggravates her, really. And so Miss Laura came here, and I called her Lori. I've got them mixed up now, so anyway, sorry about that. All right, Gene, always good singing. And it never ceases to amaze me that God lays a sermon on my heart, and you always have songs that go along with it. And
that's just the Holy Spirit, brother.
There you go, man. Amen. I appreciate you. All right, a few announcements this morning. Not a lot going on right now. It's going to get busy again, though, for too long. This morning is our youth fund offering. So the second time the plate is passed will be for the youth fund. That feeds our kids on Wednesday night and does a lot of stuff. Think they're going to go on a little trip sometime this summer. Something Cindy's got planned, and I'll let her deal with that. I think she's going to let me go with her, though. So that's what it's for the kids. So keep that in mind the second time it comes around. Next Sunday will be our building fund offering. Building fund takes care of maintenance, needs, remodels, stuff like that. So as you come next Sunday, think about that. I want you to start thinking and praying about something that I've been praying about for a while, so I'm going to throw this out there so y'all can think about it. We have this great building out back, big, nice. It would really be nice if that was a multi-function building. I would like for y'all to start thinking and praying about us building a new kitchen out there off of it so that we can truly utilize that building in the future. So that's kind of where God's leading me, and I want you to pray with me about it, okay? So keep that in mind. Amen. All right. Then next Sunday night will be the business meeting. So if you want to truly know what's going on here at Oak Hill, come to a business meeting. We don't get any fights or anything like that. They're really a good business meeting, orderly, because it's all about what God wants us to do here. So, all right, then May the 19th, I will be out of town. Actually, I'm going to take about a week and go fishing with my boys and my oldest grandson. I don't get to do that, and so that's what I'm going to do. So, Brother Flynn Cattell will be here. I met him at an ordination service. He's originally from Rayburn Creek. I think he's back there right now between churches. I did get to hear him speak. I think you'll enjoy Brother Flynn. So be praying for him as he comes. You know, I will miss being here, though. I can tell you that right now. All right, nursery attendance this morning, Georgia and Mandy. Georgia's not here, so Joyce is going to help if Mandy needs any help. Thank you, Joyce. Next Sunday will be Cindy and Jerry. Any other announcements? Anything I missed?
Page number 87.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me. How he left his home in glory for the cross of Calvary. Yes, I'll sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Singing
with the saints in glory, gathered
seated. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good to see everybody out in the house of the Lord this morning. Man, if you missed last Sunday, Easter, you missed a great blessing. Amen. We had a wonderful day, a beautiful sunrise service. It was just a great day in the Lord, I got to tell you. The choir, let me take a moment, the choir. They did a wonderful job. I tasked them with doing two specials last Sunday, and they did a marvelous job. I hate that you missed it if you missed it, because they did really well. We did not have choir practice Sunday evening, so I just got to pick one at random this morning and surprise them. They love surprises. So we're going to do one for you this morning entitled That Heavenly Home.
Oh,
talking about picking one on for, you know, for the choir to do. And he thought that was fun. But I picked one for us to do, and I think it's one that we've done before. And I think we can get over it pretty good. I hope the pollen hadn't killed us all yet.
When you're down and out so lonely, it seems that no one cares. Lift up your eyes toward heaven and talk to the Lord in prayer. He feels your heavy burden. He hears your humble cries. In his own time, he'll work it out and everything will be all right.
Turn loose.
Let God have control. Let him have control.
Turn loose.
Let God have control. Let him have complete control. When you train up a child the way he should go, he will not depart from it when he is old.
Turn loose.
Let God really bless your soul. God will listen every moment. He owns the airwaves. He doesn't need a .com to tune into what you say. He's closer than a brother. He's closer than your telephone. Just call on him in Jesus' name and he will say, my child, well done.
Turn loose.
Turn loose.
Let God
have control. Let him have control.
Turn loose.
Let God have control. Let him have complete control. When you train up a child the way he should go, he will not depart from it when he is old.
Turn loose.
Let God really bless your soul.
Turn loose.
Turn loose.
Let God
have control. Let him have control.
Turn loose.
Let God have control. Let him have complete control. When you train a child the way he should go, he will not depart from it when he is old.
Turn loose.
Let God really bless your soul.
Amen.
I've got one now that I'm going to try to do. It's did it a few times. I don't know, Linda, you ever played this for me or not. But anyway,
yes,
I think she has. So anyway, it's entitled, Your Grace Still Amazes Me. Many times I get so burdened as I travel down that road. I'm faced with many troubles here, some heartache and some woes. But Jesus, you're my comfort. You give me peace abundantly, and your grace still amazes me. Your grace is still sufficient. I need you in a storm. When burdens get so heavy, you hold me in your arms. Each day I fight my battles with my eyes toward Calvary, for your grace still amazes me. Now I know that I'm not worthy of the love you give to me. Not worthy of the precious blood you shed on Calvary. I've failed you many times, Lord, but when I fall upon my knee, oh, your grace still amazes. grace is still sufficient. I need not fear the storm. When burdens get so heavy, you hold me in your arms. Each day I fight my battles with my eyes toward Calvary for your grace, till amazes me.
Thank you for the good singing. Love me some good singing. We got some folk that can sing around here. I do know, too, that if you want to sing in the choir, I think Gene would let you. We got a few more chairs, and they have a good time practicing, and we have a good time laughing at them. So we're going to practice this evening?
Sure.
Okay, then. Maybe we need to start taping that and putting that on the internet. I'm not sure, but it's a good time. You're missing out on good time and fellowship if you're not partaking in stuff. I was thinking and praying this week about what to preach this morning. Now, I know you probably don't understand this, but after a while, sometimes you get to outthinking yourself a little bit and think, what? Where do I go from here? And poor Cindy, she gets everything. I run everything by her, so I said, asked Sin, where do I go from here? And, you know, I know that God always leads, and I feel it, and I do the best that I can to try to preach what He wants me to preach. But I think about kind of where I'm at this last week. We had a wonderful Easter service. Beautiful sunrise over at the Johnsons, a good time there. As Gene said, the choir sang beautifully. As he neglected to say, he also sang a special that was wonderful. So, you know, that was a good day. The Sunday before that, we talked about Jesus giving His life on the cross for you and I, and what an amazing gift Jesus gave us there on the cross. And so we've had two Sundays in a row that's just absolutely been wonderful. So what do you preach? You know, what we've been preaching is absolutely the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it is about. But God never lets us down. He always lets us know. So as I was thinking and praying, sometime the next day, it really kind of hit me in the head like a hammer. And in my head, I thought, well, the rapture, dummy. And that wasn't God calling me a dummy. That was myself. He gave me the other part. You know, we live in the present. We don't live in the past. We're thankful for the past because of what God did for us. But we don't live in the past. We live in the present. So that's our now. And we look forward to the future. Our present is the evangelism. That's telling people about Jesus. That's the go ye therefore part. That's where we're at now. That's really why we're still here. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'd be a lot better off. He'd go ahead and take you on to be in heaven. But we're here so that we can share the gospel. And that's the now part. Okay, the future, though, that is when Jesus comes back and takes those of us who have accepted Jesus, Him as our Lord and Savior, to be in the presence of God. And I look forward to that day. May it be soon. But before we can come into the presence of God, we have to be changed. We can't get in the presence of God in the state that we're in right now. I'm going to be reading some out of, I forgot to tell you this, 1 Corinthians 15, Luke 24. You might want to jot these others down. I'm going to read over them here in a minute. Back to where I was at. Before we can get into the presence of God, we must be changed. God cannot look upon sin. Now, I've heard this debated among some scholars that say, well, that's not really what it's talking about. It don't really mean that God can't look on sin, but, you know, I'm a pretty simple type of fellow. If the Bible says it, that settles it for me, okay? After all, the Bible is God speaking directly through His men to us. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 12, it says, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Also, in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, and He will not fear. So it seems pretty clear to me that in our sinful state that we live in, God, in His righteousness, cannot even look upon me. When God sees me, He sees me in red through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And that's the veil that He sees me in. And only through that covering of the blood can God look upon me in my present state. Okay? Also, at the rapture, and I know that's not a word that's found in the Bible, but we understand what it's talking about. It's a calling away. It's when we're taken up to be with God. But also, at the rapture, when we go there, God, we cannot look upon God in our present form. Think with me back to Moses on Mount Sinai. I want to read just a little bit out of Exodus in chapter 33 and verse 20. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now, I was going to read some more scripture, but I'm getting wound up. I don't want to preach 3 hours, so I'll try to skip some of that. But see what I'm saying? God told Moses. Moses asked God, could he look upon him? God said, no man can look upon me and live. And God allowed Moses to hide in the cliff of the rock there. And when he walked by, he could look at his backside. And I want you to get this, that God is so radiant, so bright, so righteous, that even Moses, being that close to God, without even seeing his face, when he came back down off the mount there, they had to put a hood on his head before the people could even look at him, because his face shone like the sun. You see, this body, in its present sinful form, is unable to be in the presence of God, one, because we're of sin and God's righteousness, and two, because we can't look on the greatness of God except that we be changed. Thank God for the change. We must be changed before we come in contact with God. We must be. You cannot be in the presence of God. So, okay, here we go. We've had Jesus gave himself on the cross of Calvary, died there for you and I. He shed his precious blood so that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you've heard me preach much in the last 6 months, you know I've gotten away from notes. So if I go long, it's okay. Okay? Jesus did that for us. Okay? Then, thanks be to God, when they put him in that borrowed tomb and everything that we talked about, they put the stone there and they sealed it and they placed a guard, but the grave couldn't hold him. God raised him from the dead. He lives today. He's seated on the right hand of the Father as our intercessor. Jesus, we pray to God through Jesus Christ because He's our Savior. All that stuff that God has done for us in the past so that we can have a future with Him. The next big event on God's timeline is the rapture of the saints. that calling away, that glorious event when Jesus comes back in the air and the trump sounds and all those who have believed and trusted in Him as Lord and Savior are going to be called up to be with Him. All the saints. Okay, when? I don't know. Possibly soon. I think it could be possibly very soon, because I believe that this old world is in such a state, and the things that God has given us as far as prophecy are being fulfilled. I've told you this before, church. I believe that we are living in the greatest time ever. And sometimes people look at me like I'm crazy, because look at everything that's going on around us. This old world's evil everywhere. But think about it. We are seeing a prophecy fulfilled in our lifetime. And I truly believe that Jesus could come back at any moment. Thank the Lord. Don't pretend to even give any kind of timeline. I don't know. That's up to God. But one of these days He's going to turn to Jesus and say, "Go, son, go bring my children home." What a glorious day that's going to be. Now, if you've heard me preach much, and if you've talked to me much, you know that I personally am a pre-tribulation rapture guy. I believe that the Bible tells us that the wrath of God is reserved for unrighteousness. Okay, so you and I, we are not righteous except the shed blood of Jesus. But because of that and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that's my righteousness, and God's wrath is reserved for those who have rejected Jesus. Okay? If I'm wrong, God will give us the grace. Here's what I do know, that He tells us that when we trust Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we will never be separated from Him. Praise the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15. I love this scripture. I love me some scripture about the rapture. Excuse me, with my old bad voice and this pollen, it's about to kill me. All right, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50, we're going to start reading. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Thank you, Jesus. "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye." Have you ever watched somebody's eye twinkle? Have you ever just looked in somebody's eye and just see that little twinkle? Boy, that's fast, ain't it? You know what? Well, let me read some more. I don't get sidetracked. "At the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You see, Jesus Christ, last week at the Easter service, we celebrated a risen Savior. He is the first fruits of the resurrection. He came forth out of that grave with a glorified forever body. And He gave us victory over death, hell, and the grave. When we accept the sacrifice that He made, we become joint heirs with Him. What's this body going to be like? Well, you know, that's a good question that I'm not sure that I can answer totally. But I do know a few things about it. For one, it's going to be sinless. Okay? It's going to be able to be in the presence of God. We're going to be able to look at God. We're going to be able to talk to God. You know, I've heard people say, and I don't understand this thinking, but I've heard people say, "I'm not sure I want to go to heaven. It's going to be boring just sitting around a deer." And I'm thinking it's going to be anything but boring being able to talk to God, see Jesus, and visit with Paul and Peter and Dad. Heaven's going to be anything but boring, let me tell you. And eternity's going to be even greater. It's a whole other subject. Okay, but what's this body going to be like, preacher? Well, you know, it will be eternal. Never going to die. Not ever to have to go in the grave again. Won't age anymore. Well, I've had people say, well, okay, well, what age will the body be? What about all the little babies that have been aborted? They're going to be there? Absolutely, they will be there. Absolutely. How big will they be? I don't know. I believe they'll be able to care for themselves, though, and they'll be functional people with this glorified body. But they'll be there, but listen, never age, okay? So, okay, if I live to be 59, which will be shortly, and Jesus comes back, will I be 59 forever? I don't know. Says you'll have white hair. I've already got it. What's left is right. Maybe he'll give me some more. I'm not sure. Don't care. But think about it. Does it matter what age we'll be? It doesn't matter. Here's why. Because when we get our new glorified body, all the pains and the aches and the sickness that's been plagued on this one's going to be gone, done away with. And so if this body looks like it's 150 years old, I'll still be able to run and jump. And the voice won't be hoarse anymore. I might even be able to sing a little bit. It's going to be wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Won't ever get sick again. Wow. I won't have all these aches and pains that we suffer now. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I hurt here and I hurt there. And it seems like it every morning when I get up, it takes me about 30 minutes to get the old joints limbered up enough so I can walk without about falling down. And I've got a lot of miles, Dixie. Yeah, a lot. But I'm not going to have that problem. Pardon? I always heard it wasn't the age of the vehicle, it was the mileage that counted. Maybe it both matters, I don't know. We're not going to have any of that. But here's what else I do know. Excuse me. It's going to be a physical body, okay? But it's not going to be restricted to the laws of nature like this. So physical body, I want you to think about this. Think back to Jesus' glorified body. He could walk and he could talk. Remember? They saw him. They walked with him. He could eat and drink. I like that. You know? This old diabetes ain't going to bother me no more. I'll be able to eat cake and ice cream all the time if I want to. Luke chapter 24. You see why it's easy to preach this stuff? Man, I could preach about this for hours. Because as I like to say, and as the song says, what can they do to us here except send us to heaven a little quicker? Amen. Luke 24, verse 28. And they drew nigh to the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. Now this is Jesus walking with them, okay? And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Now, think about that for a second. Jesus walked with them. He talked with them. He was somewhat different. I don't know exactly what. But he ate with them, and when he did, they recognized him for evil, and he vanished out of their sight. You know what? We're not going to need jet airplanes when we get that body. Not going to need it. He could pass through closed doors. That's quite a trick, isn't it? Think with me, though. That's the body we're going to have. John chapter 20, verse 19 says, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. They had the door shut and locked because they feared the Jews. And Jesus appeared in the midst. And here's what he said. Peace be unto you. You know, I could go 100 different directions right here. And I just want to take just a little bit of a rabbit chase and tell you this, that no matter how bad this world gets, no matter the evil that we see, no matter what happens here, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, peace be unto you. Because this world can do nothing to you because you belong to God. This glorified body we receive will be much, much better than the one we have today. I don't claim to know everything there is to know about it, but I do know enough to know that I look forward to the day when Jesus comes back in the air and that old trump sounds and I'm taken up. If it's today, those that went on before me that know Jesus is going to be raised first, but then I'm going to be taken up with them, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I look forward with great anticipation to this new body. This morning, I wish that the world could hear what I'm about to say. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and because of what he did, when we accept him as Lord and Savior, we have the promise of greater things in the future. A new body, an eternity in the presence of God. But listen, friend, if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to know this, so listen closely. Your life is also eternal. We all are. When God breathed the breath of life into Adam, he made man to be like him. And God, being an eternal being, you don't cease to exist. I've heard people say, "Oh, well, if I die, it's just all over with." No, it's not. You're going to spend eternity somewhere. That's the two choices you have. Is Jesus Christ in heaven, or reject Jesus Christ in hell? Now, for lack of time, I want you some time to go and read Luke 16, the account of Lazarus and the rich man. I'm just going to paraphrase for a second. They both lived after death. They both had consciousness. They both knew what was going on. And I want you to think about the rich man for a second. He opened his eyes in torment, being in hell. I get so tired of preachers that stand in pulpits and they want to sugarcoat hell and they want to say, "Well, you know, heaven's real, but we don't want to talk about hell." Let me tell you something, friend. If heaven's real, and it is, hell is equally as real, and it is. It's a place of torment. It's a place of pain. It's a place of total separation from God. Hey, you don't want to go there. Heard a guy say one time, one of his buddies, he was walking out, one of his buddies said, "Where are you going?" He said, "To hell if I don't change my ways." And I thought to myself, you know, how could someone consciously say that? Because hell is somewhere you don't want your worst enemy to go. You don't want anybody to go to hell. Why would preachers stand in pulpits and not talk about how evil hell is, how bad it is? You see, the sacrifice that God made through his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, gives us freedom from that hell. It gives us what we don't deserve. It gives us everlasting life in the presence of God. But equally, if you reject that gift, that free gift of God, judgment. Don't kid yourself. Everybody will stand before Jesus Christ in judgment. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. For some, it'll be too late. I thank God that you're here this morning, those that listen to the sermon on the internet, that you're hearing this. God has given you another opportunity. But don't choose wrong. Choose wisely. Lazarus and the rich man, they both lived after death, but they both lived in two totally different places. I've had people say, well, you know, I want to be saved someday, but I want to wait. I'm going to do it later. Now's not the time. Let me tell you something, friend. If you're hearing this, today is a day of salvation. You're not guaranteed the next breath. I think of two prayer requests that we had just today when parents were mourning the loss of their children. One of them I know died. I know why, but I'm not going to say. But the other one died in a car crash. Young. How many of y'all getting in a vehicle going home? It don't have to be that either. Your heart could quit. We're not guaranteed the next breath. Here's what we are guaranteed. We are guaranteed that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us very plainly that we're saved by the grace of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. And it's a gift. It's a gift of God. You don't have to do anything but believe and call upon the name. If you're hearing this sermon and you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, praise God. One of these days He's going to give us that glorified body. We're going to be liberated from this sin burden, this sinful body. The things that I struggle with, I'm not going to struggle with anymore. If you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, this life you're living today is the best you can hope for. It gets worse from here. But you see, Jesus died on the cross for everyone. It doesn't matter how rich or poor you are, how smart you are, or you can even be dumb like me. It's about what He did, that gift. We preach the gospel, the death, burial, and the resurrection. This morning, we're preaching the rapture. Jesus is coming back for those who have accepted Him as Lord and Savior. When the trump sounds, will you be one of the ones that is changed in the twinkling of an eye, taken up to be with Him in His glory, or will you be left behind? I pray that everyone that's hearing this knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. But listen to me, friend. If you can't go back to the time that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to examine it. Because you see, we can get to where we walk, not where God wants us to be. Don't make us lost. No matter where I've been in my life, I've always been able to go right back to the time when Jesus saved me. I can see it like it was yesterday. I was scared to death that if I died, I was going to hell. I knew it. I knew it because the Spirit had gave that to me, and it was time for me to choose. And I chose Jesus. I've worried about a lot of things in my life since then, but Death has not been one of them. Because I know whom I've trusted. And I know that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him for all eternity. If you can't go back to that experience, I think of Paul on the road to Damascus. How drastically did that change his life? Completely. It changed his life completely. Well, that's what salvation does for you. It changes who you are. Because a part of God, the Holy Spirit, moves in and takes up residence. That conscience, that still, small voice that tells me when I do wrong, that leads me when I study. And you see, he'll never let you down. He'll never leave you. And he'll never forsake you. If you don't know that peace, you don't know true peace. Because the weight of the world will weigh you down, and things happen. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. Things happen. But when we have the Spirit dwelling in us, and when we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, this world can't do anything to you except send you to heaven quicker. And one of these days, God's going to say, I've had enough. This old world is so wicked. Every thought is wicked. Son, it's time. Go bring my children home, and Jesus is going to come back, and that trump's going to sound, and we're going to be taken up. But some's going to be left. Be a part of the first group, not the second. I thank God for the blessed assurance of the security of my salvation. You can thank him as well. Listen, maybe you're walking a little bit outside of where God wants you to be. Be honest with yourself. Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Truly know him? And if you don't, you can fix that this morning. And if you do, then examine where you're at as far as where God wants you to be, because really, this life is nothing more than preparation for eternity. Are you walking where God wants you? Are you doing what God would have you do? Well, he wants me to preach. Well, then preach. You'll never be blessed like that in your life if God's calling you for any purpose as you accept that calling. And he'll give you strength, and he'll give you what you need to do it. If you turn that away, though, you'll be miserable, let me tell you. Listen to the Spirit. Maybe you need to rededicate your life. Maybe you just need to get back on the narrow road. Right here at Oak Hill this morning is the best place I can think of to do it, because the Spirit lives here with us. He's here. All you have to do is give it to him. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Whatever burden you're bearing, you can give it to Jesus right here today. Just don't take it back up and take it with you. When you give it to him, leave it with him. He can handle it. If you don't know him as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. You may never get another chance. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me and millions of other people. Help us, Lord, that we can share the gospel of the lost and dying world, that others might know the assurance of serving a true, living, and risen the Savior. I'm going to ask Gene and Linda Gale to come, if it would. I'll ask you to stand with me for a word of prayer. Our Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, I pray that your will be done in each and every life here today, that hears this word, that you be honored and glorified, Lord. We give ourselves to you. We submit to your will, your guidance, your purpose in our life. Help us, Lord, that we could walk daily better than we have in the past. I just pray, Lord, that whatever you would have of anyone here today, that it would be accomplished. Your will be done. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise that you so richly deserve. We owe everything to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Page 273.
Search me, O God.
Listen to the words of this old song.
My heart today.
Can you open your heart to God and say, search me and find what's wrong with me, Lord. Help me to do what you would have me do. I love these old songs. There's such good messages in them. But listen, it said, search me, O God. Let me tell you something, friend. God knows everything about you. I might hide stuff from you, but I can't hide stuff from God. And what a song and what a prayer that is. Search me, O God, and see if there's a wicked way in me that I need to get rid of. And you know, my prayer is that God would convict me even of the sins that I don't know I commit, because I want to be closer to God. What's your prayer? Search me. Help me to be a better me than I am. We can only do that when we submit ourselves to Him. Mind, body, and soul. As we sing another verse.
I praise thee, Lord, for cleansing me from sin. Fulfill thy word and make me pure within.
Thank you, brother. Good singing today. To our visitors, we're glad to have you. Hope you'll come back and see us again one of these days. And to y'all traveling back to Texas today, safe journeys. Come back any chance you get. We're always glad to see you. Glad to have you here. 5 o'clock, choir.
Choir.
And so if you want to be a part of the choir, come join in. And 6 o'clock, we'll have our Sunday night Bible study, so come back for that. Wednesday night also, 6:30.
We still have something we got to do.
What's that?
You might want to have everybody sit down.
Sit down. Okay, then.
It's the last Sunday of the month. We have to do birthdays and anniversaries. Anybody had a birthday this last month? Come on up. Come on up. Okay, let's sing happy birthday to this group.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And many more.
Okay, what about anniversaries? No one was married in the month of April. Oh, all right.
Amen.
No, I didn't.